Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Fervently Speaking with Top Dog Eileen Proctor. Since launching her multi-award-winning It's a Rough Life in October 2000, Eileen has become Aunt Eileen to thousands of canine kids, bestowing biscuits, balls, and belly rubs to mixed breeds and purebred puppies, adult and senior dogs alike. The bottom line about the Top Dog, it's all about the fur. Are you ready for a fun and fur-filled experience? Then pick up your ears, sit and stay for the Top Dog, Eileen Proctor.
And good morning and welcome to Fervently Speaking. It is Wednesday, it is September 7th, and we do have a fun and fur-filled show in for you today. It's very warm out there. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know where you are, and the heat is still affecting all of us. And I remember when I was on the Boomer and the Babe show last week, I think it was, we were talking about the concept of what you should and shouldn't do with your pets during the dog days of summer, if you will. And I kind of joked around about the fact that there was a four-letter word that I would use for people who were driving their dogs around in their cars, and that four-letter word was don't. A few people emailed me, and I want to thank you for emailing because that means you are actually listening, and that's a wonderful thing because we want you to have the best possible quality of life with your pets. This show's the show that's going to help you do it. But, thank you for asking the question. The question was, do we never take our dogs for rides in the car with us? I mean, we're boomers, for gosh sakes. We absolutely want to be with our pets 24/7, and that includes the joyrides that we have in the car. So, no, the answer is not never. It's just, you know, you have to use wisdom when you're taking your pet out there. If it's too hot, if you're having a hard time, don't forget, you know, you're kind of driving around in a tin can, and it really heats up, and your dog cannot do things like flip on the air conditioning and all sorts of other things that we would do to stay cool. They can't pop the top off of a bottle of water. So what we're going to talk about in this coming hour is about road trips with Rover, hitting the road with your dog and making sure that it's fun and safe for you, whether that's quick jaunts around the neighborhood when the weather cools off or long-term trips on vacations. You're going to get a lot of great information here today. You're going to be hearing about some fabulous products that I've recently come across. And we're going to find out the best possible ways to be able to make the trip, dog-friendly. Going to be joining us this week is Stacy Mantle, and she's the pack leader of a fantastic online magazine called PetsWeekly.com. So she'll be joining us a little bit further into the show and helping us to be able to get another perspective. Seriously, if you're driving around, you know it's not uncommon to see a pooch perched in the passenger seat of a Porsche or in the front seat of a Ferrari. According to the American Animal Hospital Association, over 62% of pet owners are inviting their canine companions along for the ride when they hit the road for their errands, day trips, and even their coast-to-coast excursions. I know that I fall into that percentage, so I am a statistic. And I know that lots of dogs love riding shotgun with their owners, but that's not really the case. So the first tip that I have for you is recognize that your dog may not be a natural traveler. I'll give you an example. I have a golden retriever, Cassie, who I know is sitting by the computer listening in on this show. Hi, Cassie. And when I first got her, I adopted her from Rescue a Golden of Arizona, and fabulous, fabulous dog. But when I used to ask her that well-intentioned, hey, want to go for a ride, girl? She, instead of wagging her tail and jumping up and down and giving me those, you know, those bright eyes, she used to hunker down and breathe heavily and drool and give me all those other telltale signs of nervousness. And I don't know why that is. It's possible that her previous owner locked her up in the car as punishment. I know none of us would do that, but it has happened. And with rescue dogs, they don't kiss and tell, and they don't tell you what their past owners did. You can only assess. Maybe her previous owner drove like a maniac and got her car sick. Maybe I don't know, maybe they just brought her in the car to take her to the veterinarian. And no matter how nice your veterinarian is, I don't want any hate mail from the veterinarians out there. You're either sticking something into or taking something off of the dog when they go to the veterinarian. It's usually not just for a pat on the head and a biscuit. So, you know, you never know why a dog does not like the experience. So first tip, make sure that you know if your dog is, in fact, travel friendly. And here are a few ways to make sure that we can get them prepared. First of all, get your dog used to being in the car by letting him or her sit in it with you without ever having to leave the driveway. It's just the exercise of, hey, want to go in the car? Take them out on their leash, bring them into the car, sit them in, turn on the air conditioning, turn on the radio, and just have a good time chit-chatting with your poochie and see whether or not they don't start to enjoy the idea of getting in the car instead of having that, nah, not me, I'm not going this time, Mom, attitude. Once he or she seems comfortable with the process, start going out for short rides. And a short ride could be just around the block, you know. It doesn't have to be, you know, miles and miles away. Make sure that you do that a few times. It's like any other new skill. You have to get them used to it. So speaking of car sickness, because, yes, Cassie did occasionally leave me souvenirs in the back seat, you want to schedule those rides at least 60 minutes before or after your dog's going to eat. That'll give them less of a chance of getting nauseous as a result of food. Give reassuring praise during the trips and probably a treat at the end of the conclusion. It doesn't have to be food. It could just be a hug and a kiss and a atta girl or atta boy. And that's going to make the dog's association with the car ride something he or she looks forward to. Again, start slow, ease into it, and make sure that the dog associates only pleasant things with the experience of driving in the car. Now, when you are out in the car, please do not let your dog ride with his head sticking out of an open window. I mean, it looks adorable when that wind is whipping in their face and their ears are going backwards and their tongue is hanging out, but there are tons of foreign objects that are ricocheting from the road. There's flying insects that can go into their ears or their eyes, low-hanging branches that can cause all sorts of injuries to them. And the high-velocity winds that you get when you're at high speeds can actually damage your dog's eardrums, not to mention things that people throw out of cars that could wind up hitting your pet. So I do advocate leaving the window open a little bit, you know, maybe a few inches, but no more. You know how they say you shouldn't put anything in your ear that's bigger than a fist? Well, in the case of dogs and windows being open, if their nose can just about get out of it, that's probably enough. They're just going to sniff the air anyway, and that's probably the safest way to go. Also, we'll control the climate in the car a lot better. Anybody that knows me knows that I really can't stand when I see dogs driving around in the back of an open truck. Dogs can burn their paws. It's like somebody said to me, it's like, I think it was Deborah last week said to me, it's like putting your dog in a wok. And I have to tell you, it's really not, it's not pleasurable for a dog. I also see dogs that are not chained or leashed to anything tethering them down, and an experienced dog could very easily jump out, and God forbid there's an accident and the car gets overturned or something like that. Your dog is not protected in the least. So please do not, no matter how cute it looks, pack those dogs into the back of an open truck. I actually go to a local Einstein's, and I see a guy that's probably got 6 or 7 dogs crammed in there, and that's just, he's been lucky so far, nothing's happened, but those dogs deserve better. I want to make sure that if you're going out on those road trips, you want to map out suitable number of stops to provide the ample opportunity for your dog to stretch its legs and answer Mother Nature's calls. You want to make sure that the dog isn't crossing its legs in the back seat and whimpering. Just think about it. If you need time to go to the bathroom, they probably do too. And make sure you're a responsible pet owner. Bring waste disposal bags and pick up after your pet, because traveling with your pet is actually a privilege, not a right. And so we want to make sure that more and more places allow us to bring our pets, not fewer and fewer. So let's keep the terrain clear for them. Make sure that when you are going out with your pet, that especially if it's for a long time away from home, you want to consider going to the veterinarian for a checkup prior to heading out, especially if it's on overnight or multi-day trips. You have to bring your proof of current vaccinations and any other necessary medications, and it really helps to have a photo, a current photo of your dog, just in case you get separated during your travels. And speaking of getting separated on your travels, I know that we're going to be speaking with Stacy about a really, really cool new way to keep track of your pet. So stay tuned for Stacy Mantle, who's going to be coming on board really soon and talking with us about some of these great products. I want to also let you know that when a dog goes out on a trip and they're away from home, they don't acclimate quite as quickly as us. So make sure you're bringing the favorite food and treats and bowls and toys and bedding, grooming supplies, medications, as I mentioned. You want to make sure that your pet's got a sturdy leash and collar that has current ID tags, which will include, by the way, your mobile number. Now, this is something that a lot of people don't think of. They give their home number, but how many people are actually home these days? How many people have their cell phone with them 24/7? It's my electronic leash, so I know that the number that I've got on my dog's tags and for its microchip is actually my cell phone number, so they can reach me no matter where I am. Very, very, very important about that. And by the way, I want you all, if your dog is next to you right now as you're listening to this show, take a look at its ID tag, because whereas I don't see that I don't see that a lot of people look at this very often, what you want to make sure of is that you can actually read the ID tag. Far, far, far too often, you've got a number that's rubbed out. You can't see the dog's name. You can't see the phone number. So really, who cares? You know, who cares about having a tag if it's not gonna give the information you need? So I think it's really a good idea that every year at least you replace that tag if you wind up and also monitoring the microchip company, making sure that they've got your current information, because when you're away from home with your pet, anything can happen, and we want to make sure that you're reunited. There's so much more information I have for you, but a lot of it has to do with the type of positioning that your dog has in terms of should you buckle up your dog inside the car? Can it ride shotgun with me in the front seat? And I know that I've got somebody on the line with me now who has lots of opinions about that, and she and I are probably not going to have too much of a debate, but I think that she'll be giving us a lot more great information. Stacy Mantle from Pets Weekly, are you on the line?
I am on the line. Thank you for having us.
It's fabulous to have you here, Stacy. Everybody's going to enjoy speaking with you. I know for a fact you're known as the Irma Bomback of animals, and for really good reason, because you got to have a sense of humor when you're dealing in the pet industry. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'll tell you, I wasn't expecting to talk about myself. I was expecting to talk about dogs, but of course, happy to do it. I am actually a writer, and I wrote the book Conquering the Food Chain, Living Amongst Animals Without Becoming One. I know it's a really super long title, but it's intended to be a humorous look at living with animals and how we all end up having mistakes and making mistakes, even the professionals. I mean, it happens to all of us. I think it's important to maintain your sense of humor and have a good time with it.
Yep, absolutely. And I know that your writing extends beyond that. You've written a couple of books for new kittens and puppies. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, these are little handbooks, activity books, really, for kids where they can keep track of their own pet ID and their vaccination records. And it really just is designed to help kids learn more about humane education. And it's a fun way. It's a nice keepsake for parents, for their first dog or their first cat, and help their kids keep track of it. I mean, it's just a fun little book.
Right. Well, actually, you started out with So You Have a New Kitten, and then you came up with So You Have a New Puppy. I'm waiting for So You Have a New Sugar Glider, or You Have a New, monkey. Do you have more books in the works?
We actually do. We have several planned, and we have an entire line of medical activity books. So we do have So You Have a Cut, So You Have to Visit the Emergency Room. So pretty much anything that has to do with kids, we've got a title for it or a title on the way.
Okay, and of course, we're most interested on this show, not with the human kids, but with the fur kids, and you do something that is very, very much of a service and a labor of love. You're the pack leader of PetsWeekly.com, which, seriously, I am a huge fan. I read everything on there. Tell us how that started and what it's all about.
You know, that is, well, it's a time-consuming effort, and it's something that I love to do, and that's why I do it. And I think that's why it's been so well received in the pet industry, is because they can tell that there's a lot of love behind it, and there really is. What we do is we profile different products that are out on the market, new things that are coming out, things that you may not be aware of because they're not sitting in PetSmart, but you still might want to get it for your pet. And, you know, there's just some amazing things out on the market right now. We started doing product reviews. We don't want people to waste their money, and we're pretty accurate with everything that we do on the reviews. And I think people have really come to trust and respect that. The other thing we do is we profile humorous animal stories, and we talk a lot about different pet safety stats and different things that we can kind of work into everyday life with our pets.
Well, it is a lot of fun. It's PetsWeekly.com, and I hope that everybody's going to check it out. Not while you're listening to the show, by the way. Okay, right now it's Fervently Speaking, but as soon as the show's over, hop on over to PetsWeekly.com, and you're going to really enjoy that. So the topic for today is road trips with Rover, and we've been talking about some ways to be able to make sure that those trips are fun and safe for your pets. And what I was getting to now was about the safest place for your four-legged friends to be in the car, and my opinion is it's in a comfortable restraint harness in the back seat or in a secured, well-ventilated crate that's going to be large enough to have them stand up, turn around, lie down, etc. But by all means, keeping them out of the front seat so you're not distracted with your ability to maneuver the vehicle when the doggy is looking at you saying, can we stop at McDonald's for a hamburger, Mom, can we? What do you think about that, Stacey?
You know, I have to totally agree. I mean, you have to keep the animals restrained. And really, it's just as big of a problem as texting on your cell phone, talking on the phone, or anything else. I mean, if not bigger, because we, in fact, Kurgo and AAA just did a study together and came up with some really interesting stats. 17% acknowledged using, of people that were surveyed, acknowledged using some type of pet restraint. But not 80% that take animals out with them on the going to the park or road trips don't use it. And that's really critical, not only for pet owners who have their dogs in the cars, but for other people that are on the road with them. People that allow their pets to sit in their laps, 21% do that. You know, for a small dog, it's not a good thing. I mean, there's a lot of bad things that can happen out of that scenario, and I think we can all figure out what those are. Playing with the dogs, you know, that people tend to do things while they have the dogs in the car. They feed their dogs, they pet their dogs, they're, you know, doing all kinds of fun things. Throwing up, I've seen some balls thrown in the front seat of a car to the back of the car.
Oh, crap. Busted.
You know what, though? There was a time when I did my fair share of very, very unsafe pet driving. And now that I've been educated and know everything about it, I will never, ever do that again. But, you know, when you're in college, it's all stuff that you think is fun at the time. You know, putting dogs in the back of pickup trucks. That's a horrible thing to do, and I have been guilty of doing that in the past. I would never do it again, but, you know, things happen and you have to learn. You know, it's really critical, especially in this heat where you were talking about, that, you know, not to leave your pet in the car, not to even bring them because the pavement is so hot. People don't realize how hot that pavement can get. Different things like, there's a lot of things to consider when you're taking your pet out.
Well, you know, having your pet not in the front seat is one thing. Having them in the back seat but not restrained is another. I read a statistic recently that if you stop short, your dog, like a 40-pound dog, based if you're going, say, 40 miles an hour, it's like the equivalent of a shot put going through your car, like 100 miles an hour. Are those numbers that you've also heard?
Yeah, actually, a 60-pound dog, child, suitcase, whatever it happens to be, in a crash when that car was going 35 miles an hour, can effectively become a 2,700-pound projectile.
Yeah.
It morphs into a different size, and it's not good. I mean, people are realize.
Not good for anyone. So I know that you are the knower of pet products far and wide, and there's been many, many different type of restraints that you've seen and evaluated. In fact, whereas I've got the Top Dog paw of approval for the products and services that I happen to review, you've got the what do you call your sanctioning?
We call it the PAC Tested Pet Approved Award.
There you go. And so you've got a number of different restraints or apparatus that you recommend for pets while they're traveling. Why don't you run a couple of those down for us?
Okay, let's talk about Kurgo's line of pet accessories, because they're really the leaders in the travel industry for pets. One of my absolute favorite products is a zip line. It's called an auto zip line with a true fit smart harness. And essentially, this is a giant line that runs in through along the middle seat if you have an SUV or even the back seat, and or a vehicle, any type of vehicle. And the dog hooks their leash into it while they're wearing a harness. So they're effectively leashed into the car. This is an amazing product. It allows the dog to move around without creating a problem or trying to get into the front seat. Absolutely one of our favorites.
And that sounds like something I've seen in my backyard, well, in the past in the backyard, where people put a long line across the entire yard and then let the dog run just on there so it doesn't have total free movement. So it basically restrains to a certain area without totally locking a dog down.
Absolutely, and that's exactly the concept behind it.
Mm-hmm.
What
else you got?
We have the TrueFit Harness Seatbelt Loop, which is a great product. It hooks into the seatbelt, just like a regular leash does. You just literally put the leash into the seatbelt, and you're ready to go. And that would, again, hook into the harness. You want to make sure you're wearing a harness, because if you have a collar on a dog, not a harness, your dog can snap its neck if you do have to stop short. So you want to make sure that the dog doesn't have a potential of being strangled or injured in any way, and the harness is the best way to do that.
Okay, so a harness and the seat belt loop basically will keep the dog in a sit position. The dog will not have the option of walking back and forth from passenger side to driver side, et cetera.
Correct.
Okay, good. All right. And by the way, before we go away from that one, are either one of these particularly good for small dogs or large dogs, or is it individual preference by the owner and the dog?
You know, it's individual preference, but they do have a really neat small dog product, and I don't recommend it for the bigger dogs. Obviously, it's not going to work. But it is a Skybox booster seat, and it allows little dogs to be able to look out the window safely, and it all harnesses in. So it's like a baby carrier for dogs, really, for smaller dogs. And
I'm all
and
over
that's
it.
A great product. Yeah, it's a wonderful product.
That's very cool. Now, that serves a dual purpose from what I understand, because I've heard that once a dog is elevated or can see out the window, their incidences of nausea actually go down. Is that a wives' tale or is that true?
You know, I've heard that too, but I've not seen any scientific studies done on it. That doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I tend to agree. I think that animals that can see outside, the ones that aren't cowering on the floor, because a lot of dogs, like you were saying, don't like to drive, you know, the ones that can see out the window do a lot better with car sickness. So I think it's really critical to give them some freedom, to let them know this is a good thing, and, you know, you have your extremes with animals. Some animals love it, and other animals can't stand it.
Right. So you'd have to condition them in, just like we were talking about conditioning them to the car rides. Any of these new pieces of apparatus, especially if it's being attached to them, they'd have to kind of get used to it in short bursts so that they actually don't feel that they're being punished, but rather that this is part of the good experience of going out driving with mom or dad.
Right. Now, let me bring in on that same note. One of the other products that I really love is called the Pet Net, and this really allows the dog to have some freedom of movement or a lot more freedom of movement because it's keeping them out of the back seat. Now, you still want to have a harness on them. You still want to have them leashed in. But if you have a dog that's really having a hard time with that concept, your main goal is to keep them out of the front seat and keep them as quiet as possible. The Pet Net stretches across the front two seats, so they can't get into the front seat, but they can still see you. You can still, you know, talk to them, and they're not feeling like they're totally separated like with some pet barriers. This is a really nice net. It's strong enough to keep them out of the front seat if you do end up in an accident. And like, say you want to combine more than one method, so you do want to keep a harness on them, and that's our recommendation. But if you have a problem if you have a dog that has a problem with being harnessed, this is a really nice solution.
So the pet net is just like it sounds, like a piece of netting, and pretty much it's flexible, and you just attach it to the sides so that the dog can still see through. It might even be able to bump its nose against it without hurting it, but it's going to stop the access to the front seat.
Exactly, and it hooks in very easily with bungee cords, and it's very secure and very effective.
Now, I've seen things like that. In fact, I bought one a long time ago. I probably sold it at a garage sale because it was such a pain to use. It was a heavy metal thing, and it was when I had an SUV, and it telescoped up, down, left, right, and, I mean, positioning this thing every time we had to go for a ride in the car, I'd be the one who'd be cowering and drooling and sad because I had to set this thing up, and it looked like prison bars. And I have no idea who made it, and I'm not bad-mouthing it. I'm just saying that it sounds like this pet net is a great solution that goes halfway, easier to install and less restrictive in the sense of your pet feeling totally separated from you.
Absolutely, and you don't have to deal with the heavy bars and the damage that those cause. I know exactly which one you're talking about, and it's horribly difficult to install. I don't feel like it's as safe because if the pet hits it, there's a lot of problems with more damage that could occur.
Right.
With the pet net, you've got a little give on it, so it does absorb the impact if something did happen. And I really like that concept. It just helps with the head injuries, neck injuries, all of that.
Yeah, definitely. Now, is PetNet also made by Kurgo, Stacy?
No, PetNet is made by a different company that's literally called the PetNet. And you can visit them at thepetnetshop.com.
Okay, great. And by the way, Kurgo, where do they find out more about Kurgo products that you
Kurgo,
mentioned?
Kurgo, you can actually hit weekly. For any of these products, you can also visit Pets Weekly. We have reviews on all of them.
Oh,
but
great.
Kurgo, you can at kurgo.com, KURGO.com.
Gotcha. Excellent. Okay. Any other types of apparatus that you would recommend or seating tips that you'd like to give for our listeners?
Well, you know, I think that we've got most of it covered other than comfort levels. And you know, dog beds are really important when you're traveling, too. There's a couple of different dog beds out there that are really nice and secure, and they don't move around. And one of those is the Wander Pet bed. That's like my favorite. It rolls up. It's super easy to keep, you know, in there, contained. You can take it out. We actually use it as a yoga mat for our doga classes. We go to dog yoga, if you can believe that, at the Biltmore, which is loads of fun for any locals that want to have a good night out.
Now that really gives new meaning to the word downward dog, huh?
It really does, and the dogs love it. So
wow.
It's really fun. We'll talk about that another time. But
another show. Yeah, another show.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's very versatile. You can take it anywhere, and you can roll it up when you're not doing it. It's not invasive. It's a really nice bed. So, and, of course, your carrier itself. I mean, you need to have a really good solid carrier, and you need to have that carrier secured. So if you just have a dog in a carrier, and you don't secure it, it's not going to do you any good. They're still going to get tossed around. Make sure you secure it to the floor, to whatever you need to secure it to. And it will depend on the crate.
So with bungee cords or something like that?
Yeah, bungee cords or, you know, again, if you go to Kurgo, they have some amazing straps that actually fit around the carrier and are all ready to go for you. They actually sell the carrier and you're all set.
Cool. Now, let's just talk about the whole concept of the crates in the back of the car, because I know that a lot of people do keep a crate in the back, and they ask their dogs with the SUVs to jump in, and then they shut the gate. What's your opinion about that, as opposed to having your dog in the back seat of a car secured by the harness or the zip line or something like that?
Okay, repeat the question. I'm sorry. I'm trying
you're
to
distracted.
Understand.
You're distracted by
no,
your
no,
dog.
No,
I know. I know your dog, so I know that they're distracting.
Yes, you do know I don't.
What I'm saying is that a lot of people actually take crates, I'm talking metal crates, and put them in the back of their SUVs, and instead of having the dog in the back seat at all, they have the dog jump into the crate, and then they shut the door of the crate, and basically the dog cannot see them, they cannot see the dog. It sounds, I say sound, like that might be for people that don't like their dogs. But there's a place for it, and I'm wondering what you think in terms of that as an option.
You know, that is an option for dogs that fear travel. And, you know, the whole concept of crating, there's pros and cons to it. The pros are that animals like to burrow. They like to be in a safe area. And once you crate train them properly, that is their safe area. So if you have a dog that doesn't like to travel and you put them into a crate that is kind of blocked off, they can't really see much, but they still consider that their safe zone, that is really kind of your goal. So it's really going to depend on the dog.
Yeah.
My dogs wouldn't like that. I know a lot of dogs that would, though. So as long as that crate's secured and your dog's happy, I think those are the two main goals.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know that my dog wouldn't like it either. She doesn't like the whole idea of being crated. I discussed this recently on another radio show that I was on, and we discussed the fact that they need a place that they consider to be there, someplace safe, possibly dark. So if you have a crate, you may want to put a sheet around it, make sure that there's a bed inside of it, and possibly just toss it a small treat or give it praise when it goes in there so that the dog doesn't consider it to be something that's bad, but rather, wow, this is great. I'm king of the hill. I'm king of the universe, and you know, this is my place, and I get to see where we've been. You know, I can report back with the reconnaissance.
And looking at the safety aspect of it too. I mean, you know, cats is the same. You know, we do a lot of transport for TNR, trap, neuter, and release for feral cats and different things like that. Same concept. You know, we keep them in the carriers, and we put a sheet over them. That keeps them feeling more secure. They're not stressed. As soon as we put that sheet over them, everybody calms down. So really, like I said, it just really depends on the dog or the cat.
Yep, exactly. All right. Well, thank you for that great information. Earlier in the show, I was discussing the idea of ID tags and microchipping and making sure that your pet has the proper identification. So if you do get separated, you can also be reunited. But I understand that there is an incredible new product out there. In fact, our listener is going to be some of the first to actually hear about it. Tell us about the Qualcomm product that you recently came across.
Okay, we are so fortunate in what we do because we get to look at the first things out on the market before we even hit the market. And this is one of those things that we were called out on to take a look at. And it's called the Tag Collar. T-A-G-G, and it's a new GPS/cell phone technology. Here's the thing with the tag collar. We've all heard about the GPS locators for dogs, and we all know that they're bulky and difficult, and you have to charge them every hour, or they don't work, and they're expensive. This is lightweight enough for a cat to wear, literally. If the cat is over 10 pounds or the dog is over 10 pounds, they can wear this comfortably. It's a GPS tracker. You only have to charge it every 30 days, which is unheard of in this industry. I mean, that's always been the challenge is the charging station. And this is one that you don't have to charge more than once every 30 days. Unless your dog gets out all the time, then you may have to throw it on once during that month. But really, it's just an amazing product. You can set up geofences. They call them geofences. And essentially, it's the area around your home or wherever you happen to be. If you're in a park and you want to make sure your dog doesn't get out of that particular park, or if it does that you know about it, you can set up a manual fence anywhere you're at. So whether you're out camping, you're at a restaurant, whatever it happens to be, you can keep track of your pets. It's lightweight. It attaches to any type of collar, which is another benefit. So if you have a favorite collar that your dog likes, it will fit on just about any collar unless it's beaded or anything that would influence the antenna at all. But the antenna is built into it, and it doesn't even look like an antenna. It's just a really amazing product, and I really encourage you to head on over to Pets Weekly and take a look at it because we've got one of the first looks.
Well, so I have a couple of questions because I'm not technical. I deal with a different kind of bite, okay? What happens, I'm putting this tag, I guess it's just a little round thing that hooks onto the same loop on my pet's collar that their license goes on, is that correct?
It actually hooks onto the collar itself, so you can put it anywhere. Yeah, attaches. It has a little attachment thing, and then you can snap it on and off that collar. If you don't want it on during the day, you can just take it off, or, you know, if it's charging, whatever, it's super easy to take on and off. And once you put that little snap on the collar itself, and it just kind of, it's hard to explain, but it just wraps around that collar, then you can move it, the actual unit, wherever you want.
Okay, so now I put it on my pet, and horrors of horrors, I lose track of my pet. How do I find my pet? Am I using my cell phone? Am I using my computer? Do they contact me? What happens?
Okay, the first thing that will happen if you have a fence set up is that the unit itself will send you a text message. However you decide, it'll either send a text message or an email, or it will even call you, I believe, telling you that your dog has gotten out of that area that you assigned for it. So you don't even have to do anything. It'll let you know. Now, assuming that your dog gets out and, let's say, God forbid, he ends up losing that collar that's attached to it, okay? It will actually send you an email saying that, hey, your dog has lost its collar. Now you need to go grab this collar. And that's the last location. So you can easily track it from there, too. I mean, it's one of these things where it lets you know if your dog's collar has come off. It's that technical, which is a really nice thing when you're traveling or doing anything else. Hopefully it's not going to happen that way because, and I don't even know why I brought that up, but it does happen. Anyway, once you get out there, you will be able to track it virtually, and there's a couple of different ways you can do it. It'll either ping you, ping the collar, with a whole series of little pings that will let you know where your dog is. Within, I believe it's within 15 yards or so. So you know how fast dogs travel, and you know how quickly they can move.
Sure, yeah.
So this is a really nice feature. Once you get your dog, you turn it off and you're ready to go. Now, let's say you want to go for a walk and you don't want to have all these messages saying, hey, your dog's out of the boundary. All you do is push a trip button and on the dog's collar and you're good to go. You can go wherever you want. But if you want to activate that while you're gone, just have your call that collar. Like if your dog slips its leash, you tell your dog or you tell your phone to call that collar and there you go. You've got your dog back. So
Wow. Really
an amazing product.
What is something like this going to be retailing for?
Well, here's the thing. It's going to retail for $200. That's for the base unit and the collar. The neat thing about this, though, is you can buy other collars, like other units, for a less amount that will actually charge from the same base station. Now, it doesn't sound like that big of a deal. It really, really is. Because if you have multiple pets, you don't want to pay $200 for every single pet. You know, if you can just buy one tracking device for, you know, and have it on three different pets, or have one base unit that five tracking devices work on, that's the way you want to do it. And this allows you to do it that way. There's no subscriber fee, which is really nice.
Good.
You don't have to have... They're working with Verizon on it, so you've got a really nice, solid network behind it. And then they also have the GPS technology built into it. So it's a huge network. It's a great, solid technology that's really been refined over the years, and it's trustworthy. I mean, this is going to make a really big difference in the lives of a lot of pet owners.
Oh, and a lot of pets, because, you know, you talk about $200, and, you know, the first reaction I had was, wow. But then I'm like, wait a second. If I lose my pet and it winds up at the local animal care and control, they charge me any time that they find the pet, even if you come and get the pet, okay? And then
right.
If there's any medical issues that happen while my pet is gone, I'm on the hook for that. So for us pet lovers, $200 sounds, you know, at first blush like, wow, but we would pay anything to make sure that our pets were safe and that we never had to have that anxiety of wondering where are they and
exactly.
And so the additional collars, that would be great. Where is something like, it sounds very futuristic, and it sounds like it would be in a specialty store like a Fry's Electronic or a Best Buy. Where are these going to be sold?
You know, I'm not really sure on that yet. Right now they're taking pre-orders and they will be shipping at the end of the month. That's the goal right now, and that's the last I've heard of it. But I believe they're going to be in pretty much all the stores.
Okay, so all of your pet specialty stores.
Yeah. And like I say, you can visit their website, and they'll have a whole selection up for you on where you can buy it, or you can order directly from Qualcomm on their tag site.
Okay, what's the website on that one?
If you go to, now I need to check. Hold on 1 second. And I'm pulling it up. PetTracker.com.
PetTracker.com for the new Qualcomm tag, T-A-G-G, GPS system to make sure that you know where your pets are at all times. That's pretty good for those dogs that sneak out of the house at night and go hanging out at the bars and things like that with their Bow Wow buddies, huh?
You know, one other thing is that I love about this is it's waterproof. So essentially your dog can spend 30 minutes or more, 3 meters under the water, and it will still work. Hopefully, obviously, you've got bigger problems if your dog spends that much time underwater.
Really?
It can go swim. It's not going to injure the unit at all, and that's really a struggle in this industry. So.
Well, it sounds like a great product, and, you know, technology is advancing so much, it's amazing. I mean, do you think that this will replace the concept of microchips?
You know, I don't think it's going to replace it because I think you really need a combination of identification methods. I mean, think about it. If they have a tag collar, I mean, a regular pet tag, the possibility of them slipping a collar is pretty, you know, substantial. I mean, it happens. That way they have the microchip to back up the fine, per se. If you have something where the microchip moves or somebody doesn't know whether or not to check the microchip, you've got the other concept of the tag or the GPS. There's just a lot of different things that you need to kind of do more than one thing. It's like protecting your child. You have to have several things in place before you can kind of be assured that nothing's going to happen. And even then, it still happens. I mean, let's face it.
Right.
But bottom line, the more precautions you take, the better off your chances are that you're going to get your dog back safely and happily and quickly. And that saves a lot of stress for all of us. I mean, you know, speaking of tags, we got some really fun tags coming out. So, you know, I don't know if you've looked at some of the new QR code tags that they have out.
I have. Yeah, I've seen that. I don't think that I'm advanced enough to have a dog anymore, Stacey. I think that I remember the good old days when, you know, all you had to worry about was, you know, if your dog peed on the carpet. Now they've got everything under the sun technologically to make sure that we're staying advanced. And, you know, it's amazing to me that people even think of these products. I wanted to say something in response to what you just said with, you know, anything can happen and you really have to take as many precautions as possible. When traveling with your pet, I really think that it's essential that your dog know obedience commands and listen to them, not just know them and ignore them, but actually know them and respond to them. Come, sit, stay, down, no, off. Because that's the first step in making sure that your dog's not going to take off. There's a lot of distractions when they're out there in new territories. They want to sniff the bunnies, or they want to, you know, check out, you know, their pee mail on the trees or something like that. But you really need to make sure that a dog that's going to travel a lot with you has got good manners and good obedience, again, because you want to make sure that they're welcome back anywhere they go and they're goodwill ambassadors for any of the pets that might come after them.
I think it's really critical. And, you know, it's important to know the boundaries of your pet. Certain animals just can't sit in a restaurant and they can't stay that long. You know, they can't stay in place for 30. If that's your dog, I mean, you need to make sure that you are aware of what their boundaries are, what they are capable of doing mentally and emotionally, and not stressing them out. And you're right, they are representing all of the dogs. So it's really critical that we be respectful pet owners so that other animals can take advantage of that.
Right. And Stacey, I know that you know a lot about dogs, but I also know that you have a very soft spot for cats, the feline friends out there. And I don't want anybody listening to think that we are ignoring them. Are there any particular tips or products that you would like us to know about for cats when we travel with them?
You know, traveling with cats is really tricky, but, you know, here's one thing that I think is really important. Keeping proper ID and records on you at all times. There's something called a pet passport, And it's a super easy way to just have your pet's records on you at all times while you're traveling, whether it's a cat or a dog or a llama, whatever it happens to be. You need to have a copy of the records, their rabies certificate, all that fun stuff. Now, you can do that electronically. You can do that through a paper like the pet passport. They actually have credit cards out there that you can just keep in your wallet, and it stores everything on a USB drive. So it's an actual USB passport with all your pet records, and if anything happens to you or to your animal, you've got a full list of all their medical records, and you can just hand that off to whoever, or whoever finds your dog or your car can pass that off as well and show people, hey, this is what happened, or, you know, there's just a lot of things that can happen. So keeping track of your records are very important.
Right. So, I know you know statistics. You're the statistics queen when it comes to pets. What's the percentage of people that travel with their dog versus travel with their cat or their llama, as you brought up?
You know, dogs are by far the most popular animal to travel with. Now,
right.
You're catching me off guard on this, but I believe it's 75% or better, 76% of people who travel with pets travel with their dogs.
Right.
But cats are coming up on a close second. I mean, they're coming up at around 60%, right around there. So a lot of people are learning that they can travel with their cats, and they can do it very effectively. There's a lot of pet-friendly resorts out there. And, you know, there's a lot of resorts that actually have cats on site or pets on site. And they call them lobby or goodwill ambassadors or lobby ambassadors or whatever it is. But, you know, if you go through, you don't want to bring your dog with you, you can actually go and visit some of these resorts and have, you know, pets there. I had cats in a place called Alderbrook Resort when I was in Washington, and these cats were just amazing. They just kind of followed me around. They were just wonderful, and they're the official lobby cats.
Yeah, I've actually heard of places that have them, and you adopt the pet for the time of your stay there, so you're not feeling you know, not getting your Fido fix or whatever it is, or your kitty cuddles. And that's okay. Important. We're going to do some shows in the future about how to find those types of places, as well as how to find the best places for your pets to stay if they're not candidates for traveling with you. So we will definitely be covering that as well. And I guess really quickly, because I only have about another 5 minutes to be able to get your wealth of information, we're talking with Stacy Mantle from PetsWeekly.com. Again, I highly recommend your site. Let's talk very quickly about traveling not in a car, but rather in the not-so-friendly skies. We hear a whole lot of issues that have to do with traveling with your pets and whether they can be under the seats and whether they're treated as baggage and things like that. I've never flown a pet. I would never probably do it by putting them into the cargo hold. My dogs, even my littlest one, my little Happy, is too big to fit under a seat. Let's just talk really quickly. I know you've got some great tips for air travel as well.
Yeah, you know, there are some really pet-friendly airlines, and I think people are starting to learn that they need to be taking extra precautions when they travel with their pets on in the air. Pet Airways is actually an airway line that focused directly on pets. So they literally get the red carpet treatment. The people that are strictly focused on animals and moving animals correctly, they're trained. They have vets on staff that are available at any time, day or night. And they really focus on, if you have to travel and you have to go with your pet, I would recommend doing that. Obviously, if your pet is, and it depends on the airline, but let's say 15 pounds or less, and that's kind of the average, and they can fit into a crate that's under the front seat. They have to stay in that crate. That's the best way to do it if you have to do it. Now, remember, when you go through security, you're going to have to take your dog or cat out of that crate, and you're going to have to carry them through. So you want, especially with cats, one that's calm enough to be able to handle that transition where you can pick them up, take them through security, get maybe patted down, because you never know what security or TSA is going to do these days on what they're looking for, what they need to search out. So you just need to make sure your pet is accustomed to being handled.
Right.
If you do.
Mm-hmm.
if you can't do that, then obviously you need to really explore what your options are as far as the baggage, how they're going to be handled as baggage. Because they will, you know, a lot of them try to do their best, but a lot of them don't, and they don't do it very well at all. If that crate breaks, your dog gets out, you have a problem, they're not pressurized, any of that stuff.
It could have some bad results. I will tell you that Pet Airways, for those of you who are interested in finding out more about it, they are petairways.com, but you're not allowed to fly with your pet on that airline. It is only for pets, so you'll have to, they're going to get the first class treatment. You have to ride in coach on one of the regular airlines. Sorry about that. When you are traveling with your pet, usually if it's under the seat, it's got to be an airline-approved carrier, so make sure whatever you have is, in fact, not to go in the overhead but under the seat in front of you. And they usually limit the amount of pets that are allowed to be on the flights at any given time. There's an additional fee, too. So please check with your airlines. Don't just show up with your pet in a carrier and expect to put them under the seat. That's probably not going to fly, pun intended. Make sure you're pottying your pet before and immediately after the flight. And if you are going to be flying with your pet, make sure you examine him or her really quickly as soon as you get them off the plane, and make sure that you get them veterinary care if they do see any kind of trauma, physical or emotional. Again, I've never done it. I'd be interested hearing from some of the people who have flown with their pets, but I think I have to put Happy on a diet. I think she's 18 pounds, so 3 pounds diet, and you're coming with me on my next flight, Happy, lucky dog, you. So, anyway, Stacy, you are a wealth of information. Stacy Mantle, the pack leader from PetsWeekly.com, a fantastic online magazine, product reviews, lots of fun videos and articles. You've got a Facebook page as well, correct?
Absolutely.
So look her up, become friends. Yeah, PetsWeekly.com, right? And make sure that you become a fan, a friend, and follow Stacy wherever she goes. You'll hear about the new products first. It's been great. I hope you'll come back onto Fervently Speaking, Stacy, in your free time.
I would love to. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody at the Wonder Pet Expo this weekend.
Yeah, that's the next thing I was going to mention, was that here in Phoenix, Arizona, you lucky people are going to have the ability to attend a fabulous new event. It's called the Wonder Pet Expo. It's on Saturday, September 10th, between 10 and 6, and Sunday, September 11th, between 10 and 5. You're going to find out about products and services and activities for your dogs, cats, birds, horses, guinea pigs, bunnies, rabbits, lizards, llamas, snakes, pot-bellied pigs, you name it. If it's a pet, they probably have something there for you. And Stacy is going to be there with me. We're going to be sharing some booths, booth number 110 through 118. And I believe we are bringing a lot of the products that you mentioned here today. Is that right, Stacy?
Yes, absolutely. That and much more. We have some amazing products coming out.
Yep, we have pet photographers. We've got, let me tell you what's going on here. I mean, Stacy and I know we're jumping out of our skin. We can't wait for it. It's being held at the Arizona State Fairgrounds, which is an air-conditioned building. It's the long yellow building at the Arizona State Fairgrounds on McDowell and 17th Avenue. The admission is $6 for adults. Children 12 and under are free. And on Sunday, the 11th, there's free entrance for our active and retired military, police officers, and firefighters that bring their ID cards, and that's in honor of 9/11. There is a parking fee. Be prepared for that as well. You may bring your well-behaved leash dogs. They're asking that you bring some new item, a can of food, some dry food, or a new collar or something that will be donated to a participating animal welfare organization that's going to be there. And if you're bringing your pets, please bring a release agreement that you're going to find on their website, which is wonderpetexpo.com. You'll also want to bring that completely filled out with proof of vaccinations. But there's an amazing amount of cool things happening there. Stacy, have you ever done splash dogs with your dogs?
You know, I haven't, but Brianna, my dog, is going to be there with us this time around. It's her first stint as a publicity hound.
Uh-huh.
And she loves water, so I'm very excited to see if she's interested in doing the splashdown with all the splash dogs.
Yeah, do me a favor. Before you bring her back down to the booth, could you dry her off? Because there's nothing like the smell of wet dog to repel people. So, yeah, you're going to get a chance to see Brianna. She's adorable. Splash Dogs, it's just a diving competition. It's a it's so cool. You see how far your dog can dive, and it's a lot of fun. We are going to have somebody that's, I know, a lot of fun. Megan Blake, she's an actress and animal attractions pet expert. She's bringing her dog Smiley, and they're going to be leading the Super Smiley Flash Mob for Pet Adoption, both on Saturday and Sunday. If you're interested in finding out the steps in advance, you can look her up on YouTube. It's Megan Blake and her dog Smiley, the Super Smiley Flash Mob for Pet Adoption. I think it's probably one of the few flash mobs that they actually do for pets. Have you ever seen it done, Stacey, in person?
No, actually she has started the first one out there, so we're really excited. It's bringing awareness for adoption animals, and that's what we want to do.
Yep, and speaking of adoptions, there's going to be about 25 different rescue organizations there adopting out animals, dogs, cats, critters. I think there's even a rat rescue that's out there. You know how much I love the rats. And so adoptions a lot. We're going to have Animal Care and Control providing discounted vaccines and $25 microchipping. Again, that's different than the Qualcomm tag we were talking about, but microchipping is still a great investment to make sure that you and your pet are not separated. Free nail trims and ear cleaning. We're going to have obedience demonstrations, disc dog, dancing dogs, and agility demos. The Desert Dachshunds are presenting the weenie races. So if you think your dog's a weenie, let's see if it can't come in first or place or show. The canine police dogs are going to be there. Lots of shopping, great number of exhibitors. There's even a kid zone with face painting, moon bouncing, clowns, and more. I'm going to get my face painted, Stacey. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you should. I think you should go with a cat, though.
You think
just,
I should go with a cat?
Yeah, I don't want to listen.
I am not a species snob. Okay, I love all of God's creatures, including cats, because as I've mentioned, cats make you realize that you are not the center of the universe, and that's what I need every once in a while, like we all do. We're going to also have Deb's Dragons. She has a Fear Factor show with all sorts of snakes and lizards and slimy and creepy creatures, and so Deb's Dragons with her new Fear Factor show, and don't forget the Bonzi and Pinky show, Barney Bonzarelli and Pinky Paws Cadero. They are going to be driving their cars on the new Speedway. They're the newest celebrities, pet costume contest. There's something for everyone. It's the Wonder Pet Expo over at the Arizona State Fairgrounds. Come on by to booth number 110 to 118. Meet Stacy and yours truly, the top dog. And if you want additional information, it's wonderpetexpo.com. Or give Kathy a call at 480-507-2297. That's Kathy at 480-507-2297. We're looking forward to seeing all the pet lovers in Arizona there this weekend, the Wonder Pet Expo. Right, Stace?
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think everyone's going to enjoy it.
Lots and lots of fun. And come by our booth as well. We're going to have raffles and give away some of those items that we talked about earlier, right?
Absolutely. We got some great giveaways.
All right. So listen, Stacey, you are now able to, as I say to my dogs, free. You can leave, and I'm just gonna, I'm gonna wrap the show. Thank you so much for being with us, Stacey Mantle, PetsWeekly.com.
Thanks so much, Eileen.
Take care. All right. So you've been listening to Fervently Speaking, and we are very proud to be on the Boomer and the Babe Network on BlogTalkRadio.com. We're going to be coming to you with a live show every second and fourth Wednesday. That's Hump Day at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. We are hoping that you will tune in, and if you like what you heard and want to share it with some of your other pet-loving friends, please make sure you check out the archive. It's blogtalkradio.com/boomerandbabe. I am neither the babe nor the official boomer, but I am the top dog. And that's what my name tag tells me. I'm the top dog, and I promise you a fun and fur-filled hour every single second Wednesday of the month. This was a special show that we just wanted to have for you to kick things off, so we'll be back next week with another show. We hope that you will take the information that we give you about the products, the services, and the activities that you can share with your pets and use it to have the best possible quality of life with your fur friends. If you have any suggestions for topics or you would like to interact with us, feel free to email me directly at topdog@fervently speaking. That's F-U-R, ferventlyspeaking.com. And it's like I always say, if it's about fur, I'm all over it. And if you could see my clothes right now, you'd know it is all over me. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful week. Hope to see you at the Pet Expo. And remember, Top Dog says adoption is the best option. Take care now.
You've been listening to Fervently Speaking with Top Dog Eileen Proctor. Fervently Speaking is a production of the Boomer and the Babe Network. You can contact the Boomer and the Babe Network through their website at www.boomerandthebabe.com.